As I have looked at the 23rd Psalm over these last several months, I've read many commentaries, and it's been interesting that some of those commentaries have talked about this psalm from the vantage point of David's confidence and David's faith. And I can't help but agree with most commentary writers who say this is absolutely incorrect. The psalm that we've been looking at now for 4 months, Psalm 23, is not about David's confidence. It is not about David's faith. It is simply and purely about the goodness of God. The psalm begins by saying, "The Lord is." And today, as we look at the conclusion, it says, "The Lord follows." And everything in between is about the Lord. A God who loves, a shepherd who cares. Say it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord." How long? Forever. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful passage. What a wonderful hope that we find in this psalm. And when you go through life feeling anxiety and you feel these kinds of things welling up about your future, you need to know that this psalm tells you that your future is secure. Your future is secure because the goodness of God is over you, because the mercy of God is toward you, and because the glory of God is waiting for you. Well, what does it mean when we say that the goodness of God is over me and that goodness secures my future? Well, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in His house forever. There's never been a moment in your life when God was not watching. And as Andre shared with you this morning, there may have been times you have been out of His will, but you have never been out of His care. He knows each thought you think. He knows each word that you might say. And yet, you are still in His care. He knows the highs of your life, the lows of your life, the goods of your life, the bads of your life, when you're up and when you're down. Why? Because He is a good Father, and His goodness is over you. David says in Psalm 32 that I will instruct you. Why? Because He's over you. I will teach you the way in which you should go. I will counsel you, and I will watch over you. Why? Because He's good. He's good. Deep in the psalm, in Psalm 121, he reminds us that the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and, say it, forever. Not only does He from the throne room of heaven watch over you, but He is willing to interact with you in the here and now through the presence of the Holy Spirit, but He also sends, the scripture says, His angels to watch over you. Sometimes directly, you may have an angel encounter that you can reflect on. But if not directly, then I will guarantee 100% indirectly that an angel has come to somebody and that somebody has influenced you. Angels ministered to Jesus after His temptation in Matthew chapter 4. Mary Magdalene encounters an angel near the tomb of Jesus announcing His resurrection and saying, hey, Jesus is coming to the other disciples. And Mary takes the message from the messenger, angel, angelos, the word means messenger. And while the angel appeared to Mary, Mary took the message to the other disciples, and the other disciples benefited from the message that the angel brought. In Acts chapter 1, two angels appeared to the disciples after the ascension, saying that Jesus will return the same way he came. Angels free the disciples from prison in Acts chapter 5. Philip was guided to the Ethiopian at the instruction of the angel. The Ethiopian was the beneficiary of the salvation of God because Philip was obedient to the message from an angel. And so the Ethiopian's salvation is directly related to the message that came from an angel. Why? Because he's always got you in his mind and he's always interacting on your behalf. And sometimes he'll send an angel to somebody else who will bring the message of God to you. An angel instructed Cornelius to seek out Peter. When Cornelius finds Peter in Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is saved and baptized, as is his house. His house was the recipient of Cornelius following the instruction of an angel. Why? Because God wants to watch over you. And he does so from on high, but he also does for you with interactions and angel messages either to you or through you. You know our friend Paris. Paris is in the process of writing a small little pamphlet for pastors who are pastoring in dark areas of a community. In places where gospel churches have moved out and moved on and other types of non-Christ following religions have moved in. And the catalyst for that happened as a result of an encounter that Paris had with somebody whom he'd never met, whom he did not know, whom he cannot find to this day. And he believes with all of his heart it was an encounter with an angel that encouraged him to put this together to help churches that are pastoring in dark places. What does all this mean? Well, I need you to realize this morning that it doesn't mean that only good things happen to you. Because if you're breathing, you know that only good things don't happen to you, right? But what it does mean is that when bad things do happen to you, you are never out of his care. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd," in verse 1, "and the shepherd leads you from the front." And he finishes Psalm 23 by saying, "Surely goodness and mercy of the shepherd follow you." Your life is bracketed by the leadership of the shepherd on the front end and the goodness and the mercy of the shepherd on the back end. There may have been times you've been out of his will, but you've never been out of his care. Because the goodness of God that is over you secures your future. But not only does the goodness of God over you secure your future, the mercy of God that is in you or that is portrayed toward you also secures your future. If you have come to a place in your life where you have made a conscious choice to believe in and belong to Jesus Christ, then the presence of Christ lives in you through the representation of the Holy Spirit. And through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, when you are staying close to the shepherd, his goodness and his mercy can follow you, and his mercy can be new for you every morning. What is mercy? Well, we have to talk about this in the context of goodness or grace. Goodness and grace are interchangeable here. And the goodness or grace of God is when God gives me what I do not deserve. God doesn't have to be my shepherd, because I'm a broken and impure sheep. God doesn't have to send his Son so that I can have the presence of the Holy Spirit. God doesn't have to send the Holy Spirit because I don't deserve that. I am a sinner, and it is only because of what he has done can I be saved from that sin. He gives me his goodness and he gives me his grace. He brackets my life as he leads as a shepherd and as he follows with goodness and mercy. I don't deserve that. So God's grace is when he gives me what I do not deserve, and that covers me, making my future secure. But his mercy is when he does not give me what I really deserve. And what I really deserve is to be smashed like a bug and wiped out from existence, because I am a sinner. I am broken. As the prophet in Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the moment I stray from the shepherd, I deserve to be lamb chops. But I'm not. Because of his mercy, he gives me what I don't deserve, which is his grace and the possibility of being in a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. And when Christ is in me, he also gives me, or doesn't give me, what I really deserve, which is to be annihilated, because once I make that connection to Christ, Christ now lives in me. And because Christ lives in me, he brings his righteousness and he plants it inside of me. You're sitting in this morning, I don't feel righteous. Well, it's because you're not. Christ in you is righteous. And out of that place, you can experience the mercy of God, where he doesn't give you what you deserve. Let me share with you Psalm 103. It is to me one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Old Testament. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sin. This is mercy. Nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions, our sin from us. As the Father shows compassion on his children, so the Lord shows compassion for those who fear him. He knows our frame, and he is reminded that we are just dust. If you can't amen that from the depth of your soul is dead. He is mindful of who I am. And he reminds himself over and over and over again, he's just dust. Kevin's just dust. And I'm going to be his good shepherd. And I'm going to be out in front of him. And I'm going to be leading him. And then behind him is going to be me with my goodness and mercy. And I'm going to follow this dust around all the days of his life, and in the end, he will dwell in my house forever. He gives me what I don't deserve, which is his grace. And he doesn't give me what I really deserve, which is his mercy. And he can do both of those things because he is good. And surely that goodness and that mercy follows me all the days of my life, which brings me to the glory that is waiting. My future is secure because his goodness is over me. My future is secure because his mercy is geared toward me. My future is secure because his glory is waiting for me. This is the denouement of the 23rd Psalm. This is the climax of where the author is trying to build to. This is the grand crescendo. Life just gets better and better and better. Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross. Let me explain this to you, the goodness of God. Jesus is talking to the thief on the cross. Everybody knows that death is coming. And the thief, having a conversation with Christ, says, Jesus, I need you to remember me when you enter into the Father's presence. And Jesus tells the thief, today, on the day that you and I die, you need to be comforted with the fact that we will be in paradise together. You will be in paradise. That's what he tells the thief that's hanging on the cross. Now, I don't know about you, but paradise with Jesus sounds pretty epic to me. I could hang out there and be perfectly content. But I want you to listen how the goodness of God expands even on paradise. John tells us in the book of Revelation that when you die and when you go to paradise and be with Jesus, that at some point in the unknown and undetermined future, paradise even gets an upgrade to a new heaven and a new earth. So God says that paradise even gets better. How do you do that? Oh, my little mind is too fried to even comprehend that. Paradise with Jesus should be sufficient. But God says paradise is going to get an upgrade and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And you're going to get to dwell in that house forever. Because his goodness and his mercy follow you all of the days of your life, even into forever. We're going to talk about forever more next week. We're going to talk about the concept of heaven and the foreverness next week. Jesus himself said, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Why? Because God wants you to be with him forever. Jesus is the grace that makes that possible. If I go to prepare a place for you, then I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you may be where I am. Paul told this renegade bunch of Christians in the book of 1 Corinthians. And these people were broken. They had a terrible misunderstanding of what the church looked like and what the church was supposed to do and how they were supposed to represent Jesus. Paul spent a lot of time trying to get the Corinthians back on the right path. Paul tells the church at Corinth, despite of all your brokenness, however, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So I have to ask you this morning, who do you love? Who's your shepherd? Do you love you? Do you love the shepherd? Who's running your life? Who is making the decisions about how your life is lived? Who is managing your life? Who is the boss of your life? If the good shepherd is the boss of your life, then he leads you from the front and he brackets you from the back. And his goodness and his mercy follow you all of the days of your life. And if you're here this morning and you know deep in your heart that you are the shepherd of your life, you have answered the question why you don't enjoy his goodness and his mercy. Because the sheep that are in the fold understand that sometimes the parasites come and sometimes the storms blow, but the shepherd protects. And the shepherd works on behalf of the sheep to provide goodness and mercy all of the days of your life. Let me ask you again, who is the shepherd of your life? Would you choose to let Jesus be the shepherd? His goodness and grace is over you. His mercy is toward you. And his glory is waiting for you. You find it when you find the shepherd.